time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
I mean, look, they begged the Pac-12 to bail them out last year and got the cold shoulder. Hey, man, shank them.
With SI's Pat Forty.
If that buys you membership into the Big Ten, then you're going to start making $100 million a year from the Big Ten.
Here's Pat and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. And Pat, you know, I love to play games here.
Let's play games a topic and game.
Yes, sir. I am a gimmick. I'm a gimmick host.
We're a gimmick show. I mean, you know,
it's fine. Not smart enough or talented enough to have an actual free-flowing discussion. We have to have gimmicks. So I want to play a gimmick of biggest winners and losers of conference realignment as of now, which is 12:15 p.m. Eastern time on Monday.
Yeah. By 3 o'clock, we may have like a conference just fall into the ocean. You never know. But for now, roll with it.
We could start with this. A couple little updates on the conference realignment. I have been a lot of Big Ten people I've been speaking to. There's certainly a sense of a pause, if you will. That seems to be the buzzword. A lot of kind of dust settled, and all of a sudden they're kind of like, you know, I like 16.
Yeah.
I like 16. Yeah, Notre Dame. But I don't sense a rush to do anything. I also did not know they were going to add UCLA. So hear me out. But sense of like 16's pretty good. This could work. Do we have to add other teams? And so, yeah, if Notre Dame comes and Notre Dame says bring Stanford, or does Notre Dame bring Stanford? Because Stanford loses power, that helps Notre Dame's recruiting. And there's so many partnerships and enemies here, a lot of frenemies. But if that's the case, and if the Big 12 cannot pry these Pac-12 schools away, it stands to reason we're going to kind of stick with the status quo. Are you feeling anything different? Are you sensing anything different or hearing anything different after the weekend?
No, I agree that, yes, there was the massive shock. Like in the middle of me having a chopsticks full of ramen noodles in Atlanta when the USC and UCLA news broke. From that point forward, everybody was, I think, just in panic mode for 5, 6, 7 days. And then, yes, now everybody's stepping back and breathing a little bit. And, okay, what are the options? Maybe the best option is to stand still and just see how the dust settles and let this play out as is. And I do think that there are definitely some people at within the Big Ten that think 16 might be a good number. And since it doesn't look like we can get Notre Dame now, we're good. And then there are certainly people in the SEC that are like, well, we made our move. We're good. The other three conferences are still feeling it out. And the one thing that I think could interrupt the pause this week is if, you know, the news comes back from number crunchers and consultants on what a proposed TV agreement, arrangement, whatever, between the ACC and Pac-12 looks like. If that comes back and looks really good, I might push things one direction. If it comes back and doesn't look so good, that might push things the other way. Okay, if that deal goes off the table, then it's up to the Pac-10 to decide, can we go it as is? Can we go with 10? Do we need to look at partnering with the Big 12? Does the Big 12 just come and take teams out of our league? Are we screwed? So I think that's the next thing that could happen. But for now, I do think there was a kind of an inhale, exhale, recalculation, we don't have to do anything right now moment for the last few days.
Yeah, I really want to know if the Big 12 will make a move to say we want Arizona State, Utah, Colorado, Washington, and Oregon. We will take you as members. We will go to 18, and we will sign you to a grant of rights that has an out clause.
Right.
You will have to pay some fee, but if you do get somehow invited to the Big 10, that fee will be payable. Offer a more flexible deal than what the Pac-10 or whatever they're going to be would be offering. The Pac-10 wants to lock these guys in. You don't want to lock in, you come to us. We're going to bank on the Big Ten never asking.
Right.
Right. So you're admitting you're the fallback option, but you can go to the Big Ten. We'll leave an out clause for the Big Ten. Say something like that. Would they go for that? and they'd sit there and say, Big Ten's never coming and getting Arizona, they're probably never coming to get Oregon and Washington, and we'll take the risk. That would eliminate the Pac-12. It would make the Big Ten the biggest thing for west of the Mississippi. It would eliminate a television bidding option. You would be down to just one major league. You'd have the Big Ten TV deal coming up. You would then have the Big 12 TV deal coming up, and you would have Notre Dame, and that's it. You would just take up you just decimate them. And I don't know what Cal and Stanford do and whatever, and Washington State and all that. I don't know. I don't know if you can do that. But if you can, that would certainly be, might be appealing to these schools to say, we get the stability, but we also get this out deal, which is basically what Notre Dame has with the ACC.
Yeah.
It's like a no risk. And then you go, eh, you know what? I can't stop them. If they want to leave, they're going to leave eventually, but we can make a lot more money and a lot more. That would be the one route. But, we don't know how aggressive it would be. But let's just say right now, this is what we have. We have a Pac-12. So I want to go through some schools and let's talk winner or loser and to what degree. I got a whole bunch of schools all over the country and all different conferences. So
yeah,
I think this is going to be one of my better efforts.
Okay. Putting the pressure on yourself here to deliver.
Listen, a realignment is happening. I got to step it up. Everyone's going to step up their game.
That's right. Little fast paced hits here. Winners, losers. All right.
Winner, loser. USC. Are they a winner or are they a loser, Pat?
Oh, boy.
Not that easy, is it?
No, it's really not. Uh-huh. It's really not that easy because I'm going to say they are a winner, although they are taking a step up in competition and they may have a tougher time even getting into like a top three or four Big Ten teams that could make a 12-team playoff. But I do think that this is something they have a national brand. They looked around, didn't think the Pac-12 could help supply them the platform, the revenue, the competitiveness that they've been looking for. They've got Lincoln Riley. They are dumping scads of money into the program. They're ahead of the game on NIL. They're riding a high right now. So you go ahead and you make your bold move and you're going to make a lot more revenue. As we've said, that doesn't necessarily mean you win more. Doesn't mean it's better for your fans. Doesn't mean it's better for your athletes. But I think they still have a chance. They are still USC. And I think that they can come out of this and be a major player once again, even in the Big Ten.
Tricky. Very tricky. Agree with all your points. They will now have the money. They're not losing assistants and staffers. One of their problems is keeping staff. People want to live in LA, but it's expensive as hell. So someone offers you equal money to live in Iowa, you make a lot more money. All of those things. But they will have the money. They will have a lot more excitement coming to the stadiums, bigger games. They will be involved in bigger games. They did what was inevitable and set their thing up. They also have a harder road. Had the Pac-12 done the automatic bid, I don't know, because I think then USC sitting there saying, hey, we're making a 12-team playoff six out of 10 years.
Yep.
Or five out of 10. Like they're feeling pretty good that they're going to make a playoff a lot. But that isn't the case. That wasn't done. So we don't know how that's going to set up. I think that the excitement level for USC will help. They have also set themselves apart out west as the clear premier program. If they were losing recruits at any time, losing smaller recruiting battles to Utah or Oregon and stuff like that, that's not the case. Can they keep the skill talent, particularly the quarterbacks, home now? Instead, you don't have to go play in the SEC. You don't have to go to Ohio State or Clemson or Alabama to play big, big time college football. You can do it right here. That should help. Also, I think recruiting wise, can they get into the Midwest and get some of those linemen that they need?
Right. Yeah. Because that's where the program is at struggled. A disadvantage.
Does this help? Can they go now? Some kid from Ohio or Iowa or whatever gives them a second look and says, hey, okay. So I'm going to say winner, but it's close. We will see.
Yeah. It's TBD because if they end up getting their teeth kicked in and they're going 4-8 and they're getting off the plane in Madison for a November 23rd game up there and it's 8 degrees and your team's no good, you might be thinking it's not so great.
It's worth noting and remembering that generally when teams move conferences, it does not work out as successfully as they think, and certainly not in the way they think. So we don't know how not playing all your games in the West Coast affects recruiting, or you don't exactly know the competitive differences. And so we've seen all sorts of issues happen when teams move. It takes a while to get adjusted. Do you ever really get adjusted? It's not plug and play. It's just not plug and play. Honestly, you could pick Alabama and put them in the Big Ten, and it's not plug and play.
Nope.
Nothing is the same. So there are some programs that have done better, very few. Utah is one of the only ones. But for the most part, you don't know. So huge TBD on USC. All right. UCLA, winner or loser?
They need the money more. They have been in a more difficult financial situation. And there was a scuttlebutt that they could be looking at cutting programs if they didn't get a big infusion of cash. So this is probably more a move of necessity by them. And from everything I've been told, this was USC's idea, and UCLA was either asked by USC, hey, you want to come along, or by the Big Ten, hey, you want to come along. And I think they jumped at that for a revenue standpoint. Now, I mean, that football program has been one of the great underachievers of all time. It still just astounds me that UCLA has always been, most of the time been pretty good, and very, very rarely been really good, and almost never been great. And I don't see that necessarily changing with this move. Puts more pressure on Chip Kelly. His recruiting has been lukewarm, I would say, at UCLA. He's gotten the program gradually better, but now they've got to take a whole nother step up. You know, I'm not sure I can say USC's a winner and UCLA is a loser, but it's going to be harder for UCLA.
I'm saying winner because of the money.
Yeah.
ESPN reported, or actually the Los Angeles Times reported, $102.8 million 3-year debt on the athletic department. They lost $62 million in 2021.
And they're renting their facilities too. It's just crazy money management out there in Westwood.
They're desperate for cash. They lost they had this huge Under Armour deal that they backed out of. Playing in the Rose Bowl is a drain. They don't generate fans. You want to know where they're going to do great? Home games now.
Yeah.
They're going to get all the Big Ten fans. They're going to fill up their thing. It's going to be a little bit like the Chargers, the LA Chargers, right? Yeah. It's like they play the Steelers and the whole place
Yeah.
They have no actual fans, but they'll have some.
Yeah.
But the Rose Bowl will be rocking now.
Hey, every Big Ten fan base is going to be like, yeah, that's going to be the road trip we're going to do. We're going to the Rose Bowl.
LSU or they're there. Was awesome.
Or they're there. Or they live there.
They just live in L.A. You know, your Minnesota is going to bring 20,000 people to the game because the Gophers are playing. And, you know, I mean, there's so many Midwestern. Everybody moves to L.A. You know, I mean, so many people from L.A. live all over the country. So you don't even have to do the road. They'll have some road trip, certainly. But you're going to have people just going to the games. And
conference games in November, that's a nice little respite from
absolutely, you know, Iowa. No, again, that's like, you kidding me? That's going to be the when your team plays on the road against those two teams, that's the most popular trip for the fans.
Yeah, they all want to go to the Rose Bowl anyway. They all want to. It's a terrific trip. So they'll make money there. I think that for UCLA, this adds a jolt of energy to the program that desperately needed it. Yeah. I don't know why Chip Kelly isn't recruiting better. Just remember, everybody wanted Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
And UCLA won this huge like bidding war for him and all that.
Yeah.
And
it's just,
they had their moments last year, but I just think this brings a lot of energy to the UCLA program. Again, they are now the number two, or can certainly claim we're the number two program on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And maybe that wins you more battles, whatever recruiting battles they have, but maybe it keeps some kids from saying, hey, I'm going to go to Arizona State that you want, or Utah or something like that. And it should help recruiting. It never makes any sense why UCLA isn't great.
I know one way they could save money, by the way, is to have Chip Kelly stop spending $5.4 million on food. You remember that from a few years ago? It was like 2019 or 2020. I mean, come on, man. $5 million feeding the players?
That's a lot of steak and lobster.
Definitely not the In-N-Out crowd there. No. Yeah. No. Speaking of winners, In-N-Out, the In-N-Out chain right by LAX.
Oh.
That's a winner. A lot of Midwesterners flying in for games. They're going right to that one.
Oh, yeah.
It's already a zoo. Like, that line is right.
Everybody getting off the plane going right to the In-N-Out. Wait till the Big Ten fans get in on the In-N-Out burger. Double-double.
The team bus, man. I mean, if you're on your way to LAX after you've played USC, you stop in there, and we need 400 double-doubles, please.
All right. So they're an undoubted winner. In-N-Out burger is a winner. UCLA, I'm going with winner. I mean, look, what's the downside? They haven't done anything lately anyway.
Right. Yeah.
They're just treading water, basically. Mm-hmm. So
if you're going to suck one place, you might as well make more money while doing it.
Yeah.
Sully, philosophy. There we go.
Philosophy, something new. All right. Oregon Ducks, winner, loser.
Loser. I still think this could work out for them, but they would like to get in the Big Ten. The Big Ten is obviously like, you're on the maybe list right now at best. So they are not getting to go where they want to go. I still think it may work out for them to now like rule the Pac-10. The question is, what's your playoff access from there? If there is playoff access, you could be okay with that. But I mean, they have built a brand, a very attractive brand. Did they need USC and UCLA to help that brand? I don't know. I'm not sure. The other area where they're hurt too is if this helps USC and UCLA control the Southern California recruiting market and/or opens the door further for Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, whoever to get in there, then that hurts you because Oregon's done very well recruiting in California. And that could be a little bit more iffy. So I will put Oregon in the loser category right now.
Last four recruiting classes, 22 to 19, class of 22, 21, 2019, they have 21 Southern California recruits.
Yeah.
So it's about, you know, six a year, five a year. It's 5.25 a year to be exact. But now some of those are JUCOs, but whatever, they're there. Clearly, you need to be good in Southern California. Do they lose some of that? Now, some of those guys are San Diego. They do really well in San Diego.
Yeah.
Do you lose some of that by not annually in LA and being the, I think it actually hurts more that, like, if they're in this Pac-10, what are the exciting games?
Yeah. Right.
Like, okay, you can win this thing, but like, what game are you creating that's like, oh man, or like they got to pump that non-conference. Like, how do you remain big time if this is your schedule and you lose the USC game, even just the perception of those games? And then at the same time, USC and UCLA are, hey, Ohio State's here, Michigan's here, like Penn State's here, and stadiums are full and everyone's talking about the game, and you know, it's a big deal.
Yeah, that's true
to me.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the other thing, like, what they've scheduled very, you know, aggressively in terms of they've played some big neutral site games. You know, they went and played Auburn neutral site. They're playing Georgia in a quote-unquote neutral site that's Atlanta. They got the home and home with Ohio State, you know, so they have recognized that they need to bump up the schedule. But now this takes it up another notch. What they would really benefit them if Washington got up off the deck and got better, because that's a big rival and could provide, you know, some level of competition and excitement within that league. But they do have some scheduling issues now if there is no additional heft put into the Pac-10-12.
Right now they have Georgia, as you mentioned, this year, and then Eastern Washington. BYU is a nice little schedule. They could be playing some future conference mates. They have Texas Tech on the schedule, Boise State on the schedule, Oklahoma State on the schedule, Baylor on the schedule.
Mm.
So, yeah, kind of a Big 12, Pac-12 merger feel to it.
They do have multiple good games every year. And they might need to go three.
Right.
But like 2026, right? Or 2025, Oklahoma State. And 2025 and 2026, Oklahoma State and Boise.
Yeah.
Good games. They're right. also playing Montana State and Portland State that year. And yeah, you need a win, but maybe you don't have that luxury anymore.
Right. One of those games might have to go.
Plus, if they stick in at 10, well, they would probably drop. Would they play everybody? Maybe they still would.
I would think, well, if you're sticking at 10, you absolutely should play round robin.
Yeah. You got to play everybody. All right. But like, yeah, you got to drop Portland. At that point, you have to like, we're fighting for our life here.
Yeah.
Portland State's got to go, and we got to find someone in the Big Ten or SEC to play, or somebody good. You got to create excitement at Oregon. Now, look, we talked about this last week on the last show. They just landed Dante Moore, one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the country from the class of 2023. They went all the way to Detroit to get him. They clearly, Dan Lanning is clearly an excellent recruiter and charismatic guy. Mario Cristobal set the program up. Phil Knight is rolling. Whatever it took to get Dante Moore, they got it done in every single way. How long can you continue to get that level of player? It's not theoretical what's going to happen to the conference. So they asked Dante Moore. Somebody asked Dante Moore about it. He said, oh, well, wherever they're at, it's going to be big time football. And that is probably true. But at some point, what if it's kind of not?
Right. Yeah.
And that problem with Oregon is you don't have the local recruiting base. You are always fighting in someone else's backyard. And it's great. Hats off to them to go into the middle of the Big Ten and get this kid that that Georgia wanted and Miami wanted and LSU wanted, let alone Notre Dame and Michigan and Michigan State and Ohio State. But that is a tough road to hoe. So yeah. No, can you keep doing that?
Yeah, that's the question. I mean, look, give Oregon credit. They have sustained success for 25 years now, maybe even a little longer, going back to when Rich Brooks finally got it up off the mat, and then Mike Bellotti, and then Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
And obviously, look, the common denominator in there was Nike money fueling a real cutting edge, entertaining, exciting, recruit-friendly program. Build every facility you could possibly build.
But, uniforms.
Yeah, right. But as we've talked about, eventually
capture that really passionate fan base they have.
Yeah.
They have the most passionate fan base in the West, I think.
Yeah, I would say so. They real actual home atmosphere. It's loud. It's intimidating there. But yeah, that when the circumstances change as dramatically as they're going to in their conference, then is it sustainable? That's what we'll see. And as we've said, like eventually you build everything you can build and everybody has uniform combinations and all that sort of thing. I just, you have to have a little bit more to sell than just that cool kind of factor. And we'll see whether they've got that.
I mean, you look at their last year's recruiting class, 9 different states. I mean, they went to Nebraska, they went to Tennessee, they went to, you know, a lot in the West, Nevada, Arizona, and stuff like that. But like, you know, they know how to go places and get kids, and that's with the switch again. I'm looking again, a couple kids from Maryland, North Carolina, Mississippi. Like they go pick their guys and get them. And the whole thing with Oregon is always, can you get them up there? Can you get the players up there?
Right.
Well, they see the facilities. They once they envision themselves there, you go, yeah, it's a long way away from everything. But man, it's great when I'm here.
Yeah.
It's the best when I'm here. Mm-hmm. I would say probably Phil Knight has meant more to Oregon than any one person has meant to any other program.
Yeah, I would say so. Probably
like without him, what are they?
Right. Even more than Boone Pickens to Oklahoma State, probably.
That would be my second guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because not only. Like, you know, he, like Pickens, has provided a lot of money, but they provided that just the Nike cool factor was so huge. And that definitely all flows from him. So that I would agree with that ranking.
So TBD, I don't know. I think it's a negative. I guess I would go loser. But if there's anybody that can prove me wrong on this, it's probably Oregon. I just think you're better off having. Again, you recruit Southern. It's going well. Let's put it that way. It's going pretty well for Oregon. And if they had just gotten the automatic bid, I think they're feeling really good about the Pac-12 going forward. If USC and UCLA, so you lose that. But hey, we'll see if they can keep getting the Dante Moores of the world. They're going to be formidable, and they're going to have a very, very nice path.
Yeah.
To having very good seasons, but they're probably gonna have to bump up that non-conference even more than than they think. Okay, I will put these guys kind of together. Utah and Arizona State and Washington kind of all together. I want those three together. I'm ignoring Arizona and Washington. Yeah. I know Washington State and Oregon State aren't feeling good.
No, no. They're feeling the worst.
Yeah, they're feeling very nervous. And
it's, yeah. And Arizona is terrible and has been. I mean, they may get better. It's not saying that they'll be terrible forever. But yeah, the other three.
Colorado is just Colorado, yeah, whatever.
Colorado.
420, baby.
Exactly.
Utah, Arizona State, and Washington. Winners or losers?
I wonder if they sell edibles at the stadium at Colorado. Probably not.
Buffs brownies?
Yeah. I'm going to say losers on those just because, you know, at least like if you're Utah, and this is where there's a lot of schools I could put in this category. Like if you look at the ACC and in the Big 12, schools like Utah that like were strivers that worked their way into the Power Five, built the facilities, paid, filled the stadium, you know, whatever we need to do. Yeah. And then you start getting that toehold, you start having success and you win the conference and you go to the Rose Bowl. And now it's like, wait a minute, what happened? All our work to climb up here. Now they're pulling down the mountain on us. So I've got to put them in the loser category. I think Washington, same thing. Arizona State, same thing. You just, your niche that you had is very much jeopardized. If you're Utah and Arizona State, I wouldn't know what's the right thing. Do you go to the Big 12 or not? Or do you try to stay put and make this thing work? I just think that there's got to be a feeling of both immense frustration and real like uncertainty of what do we do? What is our best path? So I'm putting them all in the loser category.
Utah's best position to win the the Pac-10 a lot or Pac-12. But yeah, I think this is a loser. You need exciting games. That reminder, your big time football. If you're Utah, you also just saw BYU jump into the Big 12. That doesn't help. Mm-mm. Utah signed 19 Southern California recruits in the past 4 years. Arizona State signed 23.
Wow.
These are pipelines that they need. You cannot, if that dwindles even cut in half. Now, our kids from LA got to go play somewhere. And so the fact that they're not playing that conference, maybe it doesn't matter. They'll still predominantly stay somewhat close to home. But as we're going to get to later, you know, maybe that's it's such a finite thing with these schools. If all of a sudden three of those recruits are going to the Big Ten to like random Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and all of a sudden you just lost three guys you probably need. Now you got to go find them somewhere else. And there just aren't enough people in your area. So Arizona and Phoenix area is already getting picked apart by everyone. If that is not a Pac-12, it's just not, it's not good. It's not, not, I don't know that's dooms for Utah because it's just such a solid place right now, but long-term, I don't know how it's good for Washington, Utah, or Arizona State to not be connected to the Pac-12. In terms of Washington, I mean, my God, you're already geographically isolated, but if you end up in the Big 12 or the Big 10, you are just so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
From everywhere.
I did a Seattle radio show today and you could just like the dread was significant from the host I was talking to of like, what, how are we supposed to make this work? You know, I don't blame him.
It's just, yeah. Like move the city closer. I don't know. I mean, I don't, it's just like, well, here we are. Yeah, I don't see how that goes. All right. Cal and Stanford, winners or losers?
Cal's absolutely a loser in this. I mean, Cal thought they were tied at the hip to UCLA, and then UCLA said, oh, no, we got to go. And then if you're Cal, you're looking around like, but wait, we're a great university with a big, big alumni base. And, well, nobody cares.
Big market.
Yeah, right. You can't sell yourself. Stanford, I would love to try. Like, if you're Bernard Muir, the athletic director, just walk into the endowment foundation people and the board of trustees and say, look, we're sitting on $38 billion. Give us $500 million and we'll buy our way into the Big Ten and we will charter to everything we have to charter to, and we'll, you know, we'll schedule, we can do whatever we need to do. If you give us $500 million out of that $38 billion,
well, you need $200 million a year.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, you don't need that much to that Stanford.
Well, you'll get TV money, and you'll get right. Your total budget needs to be about $200 million if you're Stanford.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go high end, if you want to try to be Texas,
well, you just want one time payment.
Yeah, give me a one-time payment of 500. No, one-time payment of $500 million. Make that work. If that buys you membership into the Big Ten, then you're going to start making $100 million a year from the Big Ten.
How do you buy your way in? I mean, you obviously got to get there, but
just go and see. You go directly to Fox and say,
pay them.
Yeah,
you're paying them off or something.
Yes. Yeah.
Total revenue, total expenses. Last year they had $139 million. Athletic budget, which is pretty low.
Yeah.
Considering they've got way too many teams.
They've got 36 sports or 37 or whatever.
If they spent $200 million, they would be rolling. Like that's Ohio State's budget.
Right. Buy your way in, sell the tech corridor.
I don't know how you buy your way in.
Yeah, come on. You can do it.
I mean, this is college football. Under the table payment to Kevin Warren. Like, what are we doing? Like,
you pay Fox and you pay
the Big Ten or something.
I mean, you know.
Stanford finally decides to cheat.
We're going to.
I would go independent if I'm Stanford.
Well, they could. Why not?
I mean, if this blows up and people are, I mean, you can't go to the Big 12. I would just be like, no. We're independent.
Yeah,
going to the Big 12. We're going to do what Notre Dame does. We're going to play all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And wait for the Big 10 to offer. I mean, we have the money. Let's go do this. And who cares? You know what? Football's not that big a deal.
Right.
We've been good, but it's not that big of a deal. All these other sports matter to us. Let's try to be number one in everything else. We can get our basketball into like the West Coast Conference or something. We'll just piecemeal this thing together and let's just go independent and figure something out.
Yeah.
You're not going to hurt recruiting. The kids in the non-revenue sports are still going to want to go there because it's Stanford.
Right.
Like when Brooke was making a decision, did the Pac-12 matter at all?
Hell no. Stanford degree and Stanford swimming excellent matter. That was it.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you're going to keep getting those students because you're Stanford. So you can go now in football. Yeah, it helps to be in the conference and huge. But yeah, are you going to make much money on a TV deal now? But, you also don't have to share it with anybody.
That's right.
I would consider that and just say, I'll go independent.
Independent before I would join the Big 12.
I agree. I mean, what's the point? And then, so TBD on Stanford. Cal, I don't know what happens to you guys.
Yes.
Like, de-emphasize football. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, this was a proud program a little while ago. I don't know what the hell to say to you. I'm sorry. This sucks.
It's going to feel like a funeral up at Tidewater Hill this year.
It's absurd that the flagship university of the biggest state in the entire country, sitting in like the fifth biggest metropolitan region in the country, and maybe the richest, I don't know, is like, nobody wants you. Wait, what?
Yeah. Oklahoma State, more attractive.
Just none of this makes any sense.
No. It does.
Stillwater, San Francisco. Stillwater, San Francisco. Like,
we're right on the edge of Oakland. We're right here. We can see the damn we can practically see San Francisco skyline from our campus. It's one of the most incredible places you've ever been.
Yeah.
The energy. I mean, it's like, Cal, sorry. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
That's college sports in a nutshell right there. Like, Cal has everything to offer except a rabid fan base and football success. And so because of that, Texas Tech is in a better position than you are.
Yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. All right. Ohio State Buckeyes, winners or losers on this?
Winners. Co-recruit California some more. Get even more money into your coffers. I mean, Ohio State's recession-proof. It can't be ruined unless they somehow hire a terrible coach. We've seen they've had scandals. Those didn't bother Ohio State. Screw it. Bring in the next guy. Win 12 games. So this just helps you in ways where, I mean, just if you get a little bit more recruiting reach as if you needed it, you're fine. Ohio State, perma winner, and certainly a winner in this instance.
Agree. Small, I mean, they're a winner. It almost doesn't matter, though. They were always going to be a winner. Mm-hmm. They get a little bit, you know, I mean, look, C.J. Stroud's from California. I mean, that's, you know, they already get a couple. They go in and selectively pick a player or two from California they want, and they often can get them. But so they've done a good job out there. This presumably helps, right? To land, makes it a little easier to land those couple guys. I don't think they're gonna have a pipeline or anything like that. But hey, it sure doesn't hurt. You also add a little bit of more exciting games. The one thing that, you know, the way the sport's been the last 5 to 8 years, like it gets a little dull. And this is a good dull to have. But, you know, when you're Ohio State fans and you look at the schedule and it's like, okay,
right,
we're going to win all of them. Like, well, it's Penn State, you know, or, you know, hope we can avoid a letdown against Michigan State or something like that. Well, now you got another USC or UCLA game coming in every little bit.
Yeah. I can't wait for this bitching to start from whoever's involved, but like somebody, an Ohio State or a Michigan, the week before they're playing a big game at home, is going to have to go to LA and come back. And then it's going to be, oh my gosh, you know, the wear and tear on our team that. Yeah, this is what you signed up for, brother.
I got a night game in Iowa City, then I got to go. Yeah. Right. Well, you got a little more money, got a little more excitement, you got a little bit easier pipeline into Rancho Cucamonga High School. Take it. It's a win. I don't know how Ohio State ever loses. The moment they're losing, they just find a way to win.
Yeah.
The other two, what I would say, big programs, Michigan, Penn State. Winners or losers on this?
You know, I think they're winners. I mean, I can't figure out why they would be losers, I guess. The only thing... One more good team in the league. And as we've seen, like Michigan and Penn State have had some years where they've been a bit disappointing. I mean, Penn State, geez Louise, they keep giving more money to James Franklin, but the results the last few years have not been dazzling. So if USC coming in turns out to be a loss on a trip to LA and it knocks you out of a possible playoff spot, then you're probably pretty bummed out. But you could also, you win that game, your strength of schedule goes up, and you're in. So it's up to you. I think it's up to Penn State and Michigan to be good enough. I don't really feel sorry for them at all. It's like, well, this is the way it is. You should be good. Go be good.
I agree. I think they're winners in a small scale. If you can't beat these guys, this is where it's headed, okay? Like, this is just where it's headed. You're going to have to step it up. Neither school, Michigan has had historically some success recruiting California. Penn State has not, as far as I unless it's really a while ago. I don't even know if they go out there at all now. I don't believe they signed anyone in years, the state of California at all. I don't even know if they recruit out there.
Yeah.
Getting to Michigan from LA or San Francisco is easy. It's a direct flight to Detroit and a 25 minute drive to the campus.
Yep.
Getting to State College is impossible.
Yeah. You have hard to fly from anywhere.
Connect into either State College or you're flying into Harrisburg and it's forget it. You can't get there from here. So, you know, can that change? I'm just not guessing Penn State's all of a sudden going to, but maybe you get one more good player somewhere down the line. I don't know. But yeah, California is not a Penn State place. California has been for Michigan and maybe helps them. But again, there's one more. These are programs that kind of sell their fan base on, we almost beat Ohio State. We're right there as the second or third best team in the league. Well, you add one, maybe USC becomes the second or third best team in the league.
Yep.
I don't know, but I would say somewhat winners.
I wonder if you can get recruits from the West Coast to come out there, they can do the Wetzel and just sleep in the airport lobby, catch the early flight out.
State College?
Yeah, State College.
Yeah,
you did that after covering.
I did that a couple times. Yeah, yeah. There was a 6 a.m. flight on Sunday mornings from State College to Detroit. I would just cover the night game at Penn State. I did it twice. Just slept in my rental car at the airport.
From wide out to red eye.
Yeah, there you go.
There's no hotels. There's nothing.
Well, those are the stories where it's like, wait, you have the funnest job. It's got to be so cool being a sports writer. Like, yeah, you come sleep in my rental car at the State College Airport.
The State College Airport is like, it's like, which gate are you at? You're at this one or the other one? Yeah. They don't have numbers. It's not, you don't be like 36B. No, just there. It's like,
left or right?
Everyone's just standing around going, anyone? It's like a bus station. Best I can tell, Koa Farmer, class of 2014, is the last kid from California to go to Penn State. Wow. Signed with Penn State. Sherman Oaks.
Was that Bill O'Brien or was that, that's before Franklin, right? Or was it
might
Franklin
be Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. So, yeah, it's been, we're working on nearly a decade. So I'm not thinking it's going to be a big deal for for Penn State recruiting. All right. How about middle of the pack Big Ten team? Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Purdue, whatever. Positive or negative?
Yeah, I think negative because
it's winner or loser. I'm sorry. We're playing the game wrong now.
Come
winner
on. Or loser. Loser. I'm going losers because it is more competition and it is harder travel added in. I mean, maybe it helps them a little bit in recruiting, but mostly I just think it makes their life a little bit harder. All aspects other than when that check drops in like June 30th or whenever the revenue payment comes in. So, you know, if Purdue already has like the biggest indoor facility in America, I don't think they need to build onto that. But they, if you need to build something else there, fine, you can do that. But I'm not sure it's going to help you win. So I think this is probably a net loss for the middle of the pack Big Ten teams.
I would think so. Again, maybe you get a little better recruiting, maybe not, but they can also, that can go the other way. One more good game sometimes, excite your fan base. I mean, it will be exciting when those California teams come to the Big Ten. I just don't know that it matters, but you probably, you know, it's one. The biggest thing, especially for the Big Ten West schools, the current Big Ten, is losing the division. It's really bad for those schools.
It is.
They have definitely. Really very little to play for.
Right. Right.
You're realistically hoping to come in fourth or, you know, it's like the Northwestern that can make the title game or was get to Indy. That's that you lose that. So yeah.
Purdue hasn't been to a Rose Bowl, too, since Drew Brees. So
they're going to be excited. They can play in the Rose Bowl. Finally,
they
will play
that.
In the Rose Bowl. All right. Clemson. You say Clemson's not involved in this. Oh, they're always involved.
Oh, yes.
Winner or loser, Clemson. And you want me to start? I'll start. Yeah,
go ahead. Give me yours.
Loser. Not huge, but loser. Because the Big Ten schools are going to make an enormous amount of money here. Even more than they were going to make. And all the reasons we were just talking, it's they're going to have Clemson football is undeniably one of the five biggest programs in the country. And Indiana football is undeniably not. And Indiana is going to make $50 million more dollars than you. All of them are. Rutgers, Maryland. Everyone's making a lot more money than you. That's not good. The closer that gap is, the better for Clemson. Now, can Clemson overcome that? Are they going to be a better program than Indiana and Michigan State and all that? Yeah, probably. But this doesn't help. This does not help to have more excitement and more money going to program. Clemson recruits all over, and they recruit the Midwest, too. Just having one of these two leagues pull further away from you in the ACC deal, not good.
No, I agree. And further we get towards a playoff that may, at least just talking to people, you know, theoretically emphasize strength of schedule more. Those that play the hard schedules in those leagues in the Big Ten and the SEC, guess what? You got more advantage than a Clemson in a ACC where the competition just doesn't measure up to those. And so unless you're going undefeated every year to win the ACC, that puts puts a lot of pressure on you to win all those games. So you can't be dropping a random game at Syracuse or at NC State or something that they have done in the past and potentially still have a playoff-worthy team. Maybe you can, but I just think there's more schools that are going to have stronger strength of schedule and bump you further down the pecking order for whatever the playoff is going to look like.
Yeah, I just, not, you don't want these deals getting bigger and more action going to these places and more games. You know, we talk about TV, the TV deals. It's not just the money, it's the eyeballs on your program. We can all sit there and say, hey, people watch this, but what are you programmed against?
Right.
You know, so maybe that game that's Clemson, North Carolina, and you go, that's going to get a nice TV number. All of a sudden it's up against USC, Ohio State. It's not going to get as that good of a TV number. It's harder to have the big game when there's more big games in the SEC and the Big Ten. And that's what they're trying to create here, is more big games. Yeah, definitely an issue for them. Similar vein, I may not even have to discuss it. Miami, FSU, UNC, sort of the, and Clemson's really trying to win the title. These other guys, Miami's trying, recruiting really well. Same loser, I would say.
Yep, for sure. It's just, yep, it's more difficult, and you're further up against it, and especially if the ACC is even more of a one trick pony, whoever the trick is, then you need other people in the league to be good, and we'll see whether they can get to that point.
All right, we kind of mentioned earlier, Big 12 is winners and potentially really big winners on this.
Yeah, exactly.
So right. This does not hurt the Big 12 at all.
No, I don't think it does. And it, you know, I'll be at Big 12 Media Days this week. I may even drop by the Gaylord Hotel where they stay and try the jalapeno cream corn while I'm out there. But
I hope so.
Yeah. Why not? But yeah, we'll see whether they're feeling on the muscle and in poacher mode here with the Big 12, Pac-12. They feel like they can swing some of those schools over their way.
Yeah, and believe me, look, they begged the Pac-12 to bail them out last year and got the cold shoulder. Hey, man, shank them. I'm out of play. I hope you don't, but if you end up shanking them, I get it, man.
Shank them if you got them. Yes.
I mean, yeah, it's college athletics. Where we're at. I don't approve, but this is it. All right. Finally, San Diego State, UNLV, Fresno, Boise, the Dreamers.
Winner or loser? They're winners. I mean, I don't know whether they can get in, but at least they got to feel like they got a chance. I mean, San Diego State, the confluence of events here where they're just opening up what's supposed to be going to be a really cool new stadium on campus. San Diego.
I am going to take a train down to that sucker.
Heck and yeah.
See it this year. It's going to be awesome.
Should be sweet. The program is in good shape. Hiring Brady Hoke 2.0 has turned out to be really good so far. You have a fresh recruiting pitch to make. Hey, you come play for the Aztecs. If you're from LA, at least you're still going to be playing games in your backyard. You're not going to be traveling all the way across the country every other week. You got a shot. I'm not sure it can work out for you to get into the Pac-12, but you've got something to market and something to sell. Same with Boise, same with Fresno, same with San Jose State. Anybody else that feels like they can put together a pitch, and I'm sure they've been outside holding up the boombox outside of George Kliakoff's office for a week and a half now, you know, trying to get his attention. So we'll see if it works.
I saw something in the ESPN report where Memphis was cold calling the ACC, and it's kind of sad. Poor Memphis.
I know. Memphis, pretty good program. Pretty good size city. Good
market. Again, yeah. Same thing as we're not as big as Cal, but it's like good program, good city, great recruiting area, passionate. We don't like you. Why?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
And that's another one of those places they've put a lot of money and effort into getting better. And what's their reward? You get kicked in the teeth and stay in the AAC.
The other thing with even if San Diego stayed, which obviously, like, to me is sitting like someone should grab. I mean, I don't know. I know the campus isn't the fan base isn't there, but if you play big games, they will be. And the new stadium isn't quite on campus, but it's close. But even if the Mountain West doesn't, if everything stays put, the gap between the Pac-12 and the Mountain West is closer now.
Yes.
So that should help in recruiting and in television and in sponsors. It's like, hey, you know what? It's not as big of a deal. We're the only league that's got a team in all of Southern California now, outside, you know, a Western, you know, with the Pac-12. So, hey, I don't know that San Diego State, Fresno, and San Jose State aren't a better I mean, that's a better California football three than Cal and Stanford.
Yeah. I mean,
probably got more fans.
They might. Based on recent results, man, you can make a case.
I'd say they get closer. All right. We got to get to this. That concludes winners or losers. Although we're going to get to a little winner or loser involving a BYU love triangle later. Yeah, this is going to get spicy.
BYU, not the first place that comes to mind when you think of like love triangle, spicy love triangle.
Hey, man. Yeah, this is what it is. I'm just reporting the facts as the New York Post and the Daily Mail tell me.
Our reliable go-to sources.
First, though, this part is PG. Later, maybe not. PG. Here, though, Indiana real estate. You know, we deal a lot of real estate in Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
Pat, are you familiar with Wilkinson, Indiana?
Well, your
days
now.
As a high school reporter, right. High school football reporter in Indiana, covering Indiana.
Football and mostly basketball. Because
okay.
let's be clear what mattered. But I was not familiar with Wilkinson until I saw this story and looked up. All right, so it's in that kind of fertile crescent of Indiana basketball. It's not far from Newcastle, biggest high school gym in America. Not far from Knightstown, with the gym that was used in Hoosiers. Mm-hmm. It's kind of over there. It's not, you know, it's near Spiceland that I think used to play against Milan back in the day. So it's in the right area.
It's east of Indianapolis.
It is.
I once lived in Indianapolis. Did not go to Wilkinson.
No.
The lot of soybean and corn out there, I'm pretty Indeed. Sure. Mm-hmm. Knee high by the 4th of July. So hopefully it's knee high by now. If you planted your corn and you're going. But if you want to move to Wilkinson, there is 449 proud souls in the 2010 census. I don't know that the 2020 isn't up, and it shouldn't take that long to count 449 people. I don't know why. What's the delay? Come on, Wilkinson.
A couple of them were out on the tractor, and so they can't get the full accurate count.
Okay. Well, if you want a house in Wilkinson, do we have one for you? The old Wilkinson High School basketball gym is for sale for $299,000. It is a spacious 11,000 square foot single family residence nestled amongst farm fields. Went on the market. Doesn't look like a house because it isn't. Half the house is basketball court, half is house. They took the basketball floor and they kept it running throughout the house. So your kitchen floor is like the free throw lane. The original maple court is the flooring in this place. And they just built around it and put some rooms in there. And you could live. They put carpet in the primary bedroom here. There's a deck. There's different stuff. High ceilings, as you'd expect. This is the gym. Would you move in to a high school basketball gym in Indiana?
Hell yes. Now I've got to talk them down in price. I'm sorry. $300,000 to live in a cornfield is a bit much. So I'd have to negotiate a little bit, but if I could do it, it would be awesome. I mean, think how great it would be. Like, you know, you get up, you're making your breakfast. You pop something in the microwave. Well, I'm going to shoot a couple free throws while I'm waiting for it. Get a little conditioning in. Little cardio. I mean, it would just be fantastic. I would
you
love
invite
this.
The whole town over for like a big Hoosier game.
You could, big,
you know, be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you just got to make keep the townies out when you want to actually like go to sleep and have some privacy. But I
close
mean,
practice. That's what got Coach Dale in trouble originally. Hoosiers. There's a balcony that overlooks the court. It needs some renovation, but it does have the basketball hoop up. I mean, there are bleachers. You could definitely have some great pickup games, Friday night games. Absolutely. The other side, the house part, really needs some work.
Yeah, that's where, again, 300 grand.
I mean, that kitchen is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Put an island in. Come on, backsplash. You guys watch HGTV all? I mean, those small town people on...
HGTV. The master bath looks renovated recently, so that's at least a good look.
I mean, yeah. I love the flooring all the way through. Mm-hmm. And they got to stage this house, too. There's like one weird TV. There's some weird stuff. Let me see. I didn't see the bathroom. Yeah, it does look all right. It's not like a high school, like one of those old high school shower. Hit the showers, right? Those
yeah.
places.
Yeah. I don't know about 15 shower heads in there.
Yeah.
kind of rusted that. Tin roof. I don't know. That's a little bit iffy, but.
It might have some leaking issues. It's a lot, but. Yeah, I would definitely negotiate down. But what the heck? A high school gym. This is the most Indiana house home I've ever seen. It's
fabulous. And that, yeah, the balcony is really like the old school gym. I swear to God. Like Bobby Plump would come over and shoot baskets with you if you asked him.
You could get Bobby Plump to come. Yeah, I think you could really get something going there.
Good story by Dana Hunsinger Benbow from the Indianapolis Star.
What is the budget on our pod? Can we buy this?
Let's take a look at it. Let's check.
I know. We could turn it into a pod house. Just all move in.
We could have live pods all the time and then just play pickup afterwards.
Yeah, just let's play some ball. Let's get some shots up. All right. Well, there's that. Okay, on a less wholesome track. Oh, you BYU Cougars. So we're big fans of the 2020 BYU Cougars. They had a big season. Quarterback Zach Wilson, wide receiver Zach Milne. Milne caught 8 TDs, 1,188 yards, 70 catches overall. Wilson obviously went to the New York Jets, number 2 overall. Milne signed with the Washington Commanders, as they're now known. They were roommates. They were best friends. They were tight. They are no longer.
No.
They are apparently no longer following each other on Instagram. The problem here is a young lady named Abby Guile. I'm going to say her name. Sorry. Used to date Zach. Now she's dating Dax. It happens.
just the beginning of the awkward relationships in this story.
Yeah, whatever, right? Whatever. So there seems to be some kind of online bullying and a lot of arguing. And this is Abby jumping from one player to the next. I don't know what all that. All I know is this. In a comment on Instagram that got the New York Post very excited, Abby wrote that Zach Wilson, BYU hero, was, quote, sleeping with his mom's best friend. That's the real homie hopper. There were then 2 laughing emojis. The comment was then deleted, and then the entire Instagram account was deleted, apparently.
But not fast enough for her sake, or Zach's, or Dax's, or anybody else.
The roommates are at odds. One-time roommates. Now this has been spilled out. So maybe that deemed the thing. So the question I have for you, Pat, Zach has not commented yet, but trust me, when he shows up at Jets camp, this will be
getting me. This is a bad time to play in New York. Like, if he were maybe in Jacksonville or something, this might kind of go away a little faster. Not in New York.
I expect Brian Costello of the New York Post, the Jets beat writer, to be right on top of this podcast listener cause.
The best take on his first press conference was on Twitter, and somebody tweeted out the clip from the other guys, and it was The Rock, where he goes, no comment, but yes.
Now, here's the distinction that's very important. He did not allegedly sleep with his best friend's mom. Okay, that would be one issue. We can debate whether that's allowed or not. He slept with his mom's best friend.
Right.
Okay, so it's a big difference. I think your best friend's mom is off the table. I think that is, you cannot sleep with your best friend's mom. That should not be allowed, even if you wanted to. But I mean, you're no longer best friends at that point, right? Yes, I mean, that's a deal breaker. Absolutely.
But
okay, your mom's best friend. Should we be applauding Zach Wilson for just? He's not into ageism. He's very open-minded.
No, I'm going to say that's more off the table. Because you can't...
Your mom's best friend?
Mama mad at you like that. I mean, you are putting your mom in that position now. I mean, It's one thing. Yes, you can tell your best friend, look, all right, we're no longer friends, okay, because I'm going to sleep with your mom. But you can't tell your mom, hey, yeah, I'm going to sleep with your best friend, but she's still your mom. You got to theoretically, you go home for Christmas, you go home in the off season. You can't know. No, 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 no.
Yeah, the Friendsgiving potluck get together got a little weirder.
Friendsgiving. I don't think that he asked his mom permission. No, I'm sure he didn't.
But
I think Zach just went. It's like when he scored that scramble for that touchdown against Coastal Carolina. He just took what was out there.
You can't take that when that's out there. No, no, no. You throw the ball out of bounds there. Say sorry.
I'd be like, listen, mom, get better friends. I don't care.
We're talking about the same guy that took two BYU cheerleaders to his senior year prom. Look,
he's always been seemingly a go-getter, you know? But no. You can't do that with mom's best friend.
I disagree. Wow. It's all on the table. We have not had an identification of this best friend. Mom's best friend, but presumably someone knows. Wilson's mom, who is herself an influencer, Lisa Wilson, posted an emotional, nearly 30-minute long Instagram video Sunday decrying the evils of social media and online predators.
A 30-minute online video to decry online social media. All right.
If this doesn't confirm that that's real, then I don't know what else will.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right, if she's a social media diva, I'm starting to come around to the other side here now. I'm less concerned about mom's feelings in this.
All right, so the People's Court is you're against. I say fine, it's fair game. Sully, you may cast the deciding vote. Are you allowed to?
She's an adult. Zach's an adult that can do whatever they want.
There you go. Two consenting adults.
I still think you are.
That said, Zach.
You're in deep water with mom, so
you're
better.
You're the number two pick. You're the starting quarterback of the New York Jets. Joe Namath wasn't sleeping with his mom's best friend.
Well, that we know of.
Joe Namath slept with so many people. Who knows? I mean, you know,
it's a fair point.
But yes, your point is well taken, Dan. That he shouldn't exactly be checking the remainder bin. You know, I mean.
Maybe this, who knows who this mom is? Who knows?
Why bring this drama onto yourself when you are the number two pick?
Or you don't care because you're the number two pick, so drama doesn't affect you. I don't know. There's a lot to know, and this is an ongoing saga.
We're going to find out whether drama affects him because
this is an onion with a lot of layers.
What happened in that BYU dorm or apartment? Good gravy. What happened? All right. That ends the show, to say the least.
Maybe for good.
Maybe for good.
Wetzel comes out in favor of young men going after mom's best friends. We'll see how that plays in Middle America.
Just not your best friend's mom. It's a very important distinction. We'll be back later in the week following Big 12 Media Days. It's going to be a little later, probably Friday. So if you get bored, listen to us twice. Continue to share us on social media. Leave us nice reviews and talk to your friends about us and all that. We appreciate all of the listening. Talk to you later.